Right now, I want to ask you to join me in prayer as we begin our Torah study. Would you pray with me? I'll call out the Hebrew, Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav, Vetzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This weekend we're reading Parshat Lech Lecha. It's the call to Abraham to get up and to get himself out, to go out. It's the beginning of a new chapter in the life for Abraham and Sarah. And I want to focus this weekend on new chapters because I believe that there are new chapters ahead for many of us, for you. And if you only look back and you think that your past defines everything that's ahead, you'll be making some mistakes. God spoke to Abraham. You can see this in Genesis chapter 12. And he said, Lech Lecha, get up, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. So this is a land that Abraham didn't know. You see, there are times when God will give us a word of guidance. He'll give us a word of direction. But we have to do the getting up, and we have to do the going out. Abraham and Sarah had to respond. They had to respond with faith and trust in God. And they went out. They had to leave behind all that was familiar. Some of you can identify with that because you've had that experience in your life. To leave your people, your country, your family, and to go to a land that the Lord will open up to you, that he'll show you, a land you don't know. I always like to check in Jacksonville because there's so few people who were born in Jacksonville who are still here. And most of us who are here weren't born here in Jacksonville. How many people moved to Jacksonville from somewhere else? Would you raise your hands? See what I mean? So maybe you can identify a little bit with Abraham. And then look at some of these promises. And they're, of course, contingent. They're contingent on getting up and going. Starting in verse 2, the Lord says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Or the Hebrew is more of the imperative, you shall be a blessing, or be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will bless themselves through you. And then look at verse 4, because I think this is so important. It says, and so Avram went, as the Lord had told them. Say that with me, as the Lord had told them. Have you ever made plans and they seemed so good and it turned out the Lord wasn't in your plans? Anybody have that experience? And did you ever try to get God to agree with your plans? I remember praying for years, trying to persuade the Lord what he ought to do. And there were moments when I had certain details worked out and he was not following those plans of mine. And I was praying as if he didn't understand all the things that he needed to understand in order to lead me. It was an embarrassing moment when the Lord said to me in prayer one day, you treat me like I'm an idiot, but I'm not an idiot. You are. And it was embarrassing. But it was true, because I was acting like he didn't understand and I needed to point out to him why his plan or on this detail or that wasn't so good and my plan was better. After a while, I learned, don't do that. He will not take your advice in that way. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so Avram went as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Avram was 75 years old. 75. Okay, so let's just check. Anyone here 75? Okay. 1, 2, 3. 75 or older. 4. Okay, good. So we're talking to you tonight, but not just you. Avram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the stuff that they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and then they arrived there. One sentence says all of that. If you've ever moved, you know that one sentence really doesn't describe all that goes into this. Can you imagine setting out on foot in the Middle East? And it says, they set out and they arrived there. You know it's not that easy. You know that it takes much more than that. But this is a summary because these details are not the most important ones. They're just being described. Now, Abraham was called, but Lot went with him. And the reason was Lot was family. And he went with Abraham and Sarah because of that. Not because he had exactly the same calling, but he was moving with Abraham and Sarah who had this calling. Now, this is what I want you to see. That when you walk with God, he will take you forward, but sometimes there will be surprises in life. How many of you can verify that that has happened to you? That in walking with God, he'll surprise you sometimes. And who can verify that? He has ideas you didn't have. You have ideas he doesn't agree with. He will not always do what you expect. And he will bring you into the known. When he says, I'm going to bring you out of the country you know into the country I'll show you, he's saying, I'm going to take you from what's familiar already in your life to what is completely unfamiliar. So there's a lot of uncertainty that comes with this. But this is important to know. You may not know where you're going. You may know what it's going to be like. You may not be able to anticipate everything you're going to go through, but you can know this for sure, that if God calls you and you obey him and you do as Abraham did, all that he shows you to do, he is with you, he's leading you, and he's going to work through these uncertain and unfamiliar moments in order to take you where he wants to get you. Now, we don't have time to go into it. It's not our major theme tonight. But when Abraham started moving, he got to this promised land and there was a famine. And so he had to go down to Egypt to wait out the famine. You would think the Lord could time things better, right? But God works like that. There are times when he'll take us into places and then take us into surprise places and then bring us back. And he worked through all of that. Now let's go to Genesis 13, verse 5. Now Lot, who was moving about with Avram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together because their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Avram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. And so Avram said to Lot, this is verse 8, I want you to pay close attention to this part. Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we're close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. You see, there are times when the solution is not to be in the same place, but to go into separate ways. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So Abraham gives Lot the first choice. And I believe this was a reflection of the confidence that Abraham had in God. Abraham understood that his future actually depended on God, And he trusted God with that future, and he generously gave to Lot the first choice. And he said, Lot, you take which side you want. You want to go in this direction, you can. I'll go in the other direction. You want to go this way, I'll go that way. No problem. You can go to the right or the left. It's your choice. Lot chose based on his desire to get what was good for himself. Look at verse 10. Lot looked around. He saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 11, so Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, and he set out toward the east. So you see the motivation of Lot. Lot didn't look around and say, wow, I'm here because of Abraham. I want him to get the best part. He looked around and he said, I'm here because of me. I want the best part. And so he judged according to what his eyes saw. And it says, the two men parted company. Avram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. We're not going to go into all the detail around Lot's choices, but I want you to see something. How different Abraham processed all this. He trusted God that even though Lot would go first, Abraham's life would still work out. Now, not everything works out well in life. You know that. But Abraham understood that he was obeying the Lord, and it must have been that the Lord gave him the sense of freedom and generosity. Lot, you choose. Go ahead, you choose. Whichever way is good with me. Verse 14. The Lord said to Avram after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and the west. This is so interesting. Look around. You see, Lot looked around, but what was he looking for? What's good for him? Avram wasn't thinking like that. And now the Lord says to him, okay, you look around. Now tell me what you see. And you know, think about human nature. When somebody gets the good part and you get the bad part, or someone gets the fertile land and you get the dry land, wouldn't it be easy to look around and say, man, this stinks. What am I left with? But the Lord says, you look around. Look around now. Now that Lot's out of the picture, this is when the revelation comes. They've parted company. Look around. Look to the north. Look to the south. Look to the east. Look to the west. Remember at Sukkot when we were shaking the lulav and we turned to north, south, east, and west. It's good to remember how to do that. Look around. All this land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I'll make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you. Now, this is not the same as lech lecha. It's two different words. It's kum. Hitalech. Kum means rise up, rise, arise. And hitalech means, and go walking for yourself. And let yourself walk. So it's similar in idea to lech lecha, except lech lecha has an important difference in destination. In lech lecha, you get up and you go out and you leave something. In this case, you get up and you walk around, you walk through, and you continue in the very place. And the Lord's saying, it's time to take a different kind of walk now, Abraham. You got here, good. Now you need to put your foot down on every part of this land because I'm giving it to you. I want you to be familiar with it. I want you to see it for yourself. I want you to have the experience of walking through the land so that it becomes your land. And again, Abraham had to do the rising up and the walking. How many times does God want to give us something and we've got to get up and walk through it?
or walk to it. And we're sitting there saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. And he's trying to give us, but we're not
getting up and we're not doing the walking.
God will not do the walking for you. And when he says, get up, what should you do? Get up.
And when he says, walk,
what should you do?
Walk. And when he says, walk all
over the whole thing, what should you do?
Walk all over the whole thing.
But what if you're
75?
Keep walking. But what about the argument, that's a long way to walk?
Don't argue, walk, right? Just keep walking. Keep walking. You almost have a promise, if you keep walking, you'll still be alive. Right? And if you don't, who knows what the future will be? Do you think Lot fully understood what he was getting himself into? It never even occurred to him to stop quarreling or to instruct his guys, show respect to my uncle and his people. There's no indication of that. Abraham wants peace, and he loves Lot, but is Lot the most respectful and the greatest in character? Not at all. And how well does it go for Lot? He chose the best portion. How did it work out for him? Not so good. Didn't work out so well for him or for his family. If you follow the details in the story, you'll find that his family really was destroyed through his choices. And not just his immediate family, but his descendants. And one, Ruth certainly experienced redemption. But it wasn't that everyone who was descended from Lot recovered from these terrible choices that had affected the life of all of them. So Lot didn't fully understand. And do you think that Abraham understood every single detail? I don't think he did. I think that Abraham probably woke up many mornings saying, what on earth is going on? What am I going to do? Asking questions of the Lord, are you sure? And maybe thinking, you know, I think I might have to find a way to make my own child. It's been a long time. Sarah, I don't think she can help. She's got an idea. But you know what? Even through all of that struggle, God was working. Well, I want to encourage you about the new chapters that are still ahead for you. The past may have gotten you to this point in life. It has gotten to you to this point in life, but there is more ahead. And it may have some surprises, and you may have to go into unfamiliar territory. And I believe that there are some people who are thinking to themselves, you know what? I know how it's going to go. I know what tomorrow's going to be like. It's going to be like today. It's going to be like yesterday. And you may think, because you had 10 yesterdays that were all alike, that every tomorrow is going to be the same. But one of the messages to us through the life of Abraham is this, that there are times when God opens up a whole new chapter in life. And all the yesterdays are not limiting you and not stopping you from going into the tomorrows that God has for you. There are times when you cannot imagine what God is going to do. You can't even ask for it clearly. And that's why He will do more than you ask and more than you imagine. And some of you are saying to yourselves right now, well, if he'd only do what I can ask or imagine, I'd be satisfied. How many of you think that? Oh, man, if you just do what I'm wanting, what I can see, it'd work out. Isn't that a temptation? I know I'm not the only one who treats God that way sometimes. I'm also thinking about something else that's important. There's a modern view. You could say it's Hollywood or advertising or whatever, but
It's a view that young people have bright and open futures. Young people do, but only young people. And so if you're not young, then, you know, what's bright and what's open about your future? But I believe the Torah gives a broader and more inclusive picture, and so do the writings, the other writings of Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah. And let me just name names. Abraham and Sarah. 75 years old. Is that young? Is that a target demographic? I don't think so. Maybe for retirement. Moses. How old was he when God called him? 80. Okay, but did you think about this? It wasn't just Moses. It was Aaron and Miriam, too. And they were older, right? They're not kids. What about Simeon and Hannah in the temple? They've spent their whole lives like praying for, hoping for, expecting, waiting for Messiah to come. And do you remember that word from the Holy Spirit to Simeon, to Shimon? And he goes to the temple and he sees this little baby who's brought in for Pidyon HaBen, right? The redemption of the firstborn. A poor family, we know that because Yeshua's family brought the bird offering, which is for poor families, not the other offering for redemption. And he looks at this baby, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, this is the consolation of Israel. And he looks at this 30-day-old baby, Goo Goo Gaga, who hasn't done anything yet. And he goes, ho-ho! I'm satisfied now. I saw him. I saw him. And he was ready to consider his life complete and fulfilled only because he saw Yeshua when he was a little baby. Just to see what he had been hoping for was enough for him. He did not have to see the next 30 years in order to be content. But the scripture points out that Shimon and Hannah, these were the ones who got God's attention on that day. That's what I want to point out to you. Were they young folk, full of vigor, opportunity, trying to figure out what college they're going to go to? No. Now, you can add others to this list, I'm sure, from the scriptures. But all of this is connected to God's perspective on how he wants to work. And the prophet Joel communicates this. Peter, who followed Yeshua, became known to us as the Apostle Peter. Shaliach. He grasped this too on Shavuot. It's Joel 2:28 in the English. And I encourage you to turn there. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will pour out my spirit on who? All people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And it is possible, I believe, that these words translated men, old men and young men, can be inclusive of both genders, which is often the case in Hebrew, that you can say sons, for instance, but it means sons and daughters. It can mean a mixed company. So understand this, all people, sons and daughters, old people, young people, and then it makes it explicit in verse 29, both men and women. Say that with me, both men and women. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This gives you a picture of God's plan. His plan is far beyond normal limitations. He'll take old people, he'll take young people. He will take even people who are too young to meet the standards that other wiser, more experienced people will have. What about King David? Was he king when he was recognized? No, he was a kid, right? He was considered so insignificant by his own family, they didn't even think of him. They didn't even remember his name. They didn't even think there was yet another brother in the family. How'd you like to be that kid? Do you have any other brothers? No. You got to have another brother. No. There's got to be another brother. Oh, well, David. Can you imagine being David on that day, hearing this story? Now, how do we know he heard the story? We read the story, right? We read it. The details weren't being hidden. At some point, I think the family said, "We didn't even remember you existed." That's Jewish family love. They didn't think of him as being significant. What about Josiah when he was just a little one and he became king? What about Yochanan when he was in his mother's womb and the Spirit of God filled him up? How do you get a prophet out of a little baby that hasn't even been born? Jeremiah, who was called by God, and Jeremiah said, "You got to be kidding, I'm a kid. You can't call kids. There's a rule. We have to be older." Right? Clearly there's a rule. And the Lord says, "You know, Jeremiah, I make the rules. Tell me what you see." Jeremiah answers. The Lord says, "That's right. Okay, let's do it again. Now tell me what you see." He answers. The Lord says, "See? I've called you." So God is able to call the young. He's able to call the old. He's able to open up chapters that you could not imagine are possible for your life. And what I want to do today, more than anything, is I want to encourage you to leave here with a sense of marvel about God's capacity and with a sense of expectation that maybe you don't have it all figured out. And maybe the Lord's got some things ahead for you that are beyond. We had a friend in Ukraine when something was amazing, he'd say in English, "It's beyond civilization." and we love saying that. "Oh, it's beyond civilization." God is able to do more than you can ask or imagine. And so what that doesn't mean is that you can twist God's arm and compel him to do more than you ask or imagine. It means he's already got a hold of your life and he wants to do more than you ask or imagine. Even so, when he shows you something and it wasn't your idea, he wants you to agree with it. Can you imagine if Abraham, having received this word, rebuked it? "Get up and go." What if he said, "But I'm a family man. I believe in living right here." How do you think it would have gone for him? How do you think it would have gone for us? We wouldn't be here if he hadn't been faithful. You see, his faithfulness prepared the way. His faithfulness prepared the way for Isaac. Abraham was called to get up and go out. Isaac was called to stay put. Different callings, but part of a grand plan from the Lord. Through Messiah, the Lord makes us new again. He makes us new creations and new in our capacity because now we can serve the Lord wholeheartedly. He gives us new spirits. He gives us new hearts. And he does this for every age, young and old, sons and daughters, men and women. And he wants to touch every generation and every age. And I want this to get into your mind, into your heart, into your kishkas. I want you to grasp this, that there are young people around you who are important to God, and he wants you to take notice of them so you can invest in them. There are old people around you who are important to God. He wants to use them. Their life isn't finished. They've got things to do that you can't fully understand, and he wants to use them, but he needs you to encourage them and to respond to them. That's one group. There's some old people. Every time you get older, you think you're the old person. I was at gym today with a congregant, a friend of mine. He's 50. I'm 60. I'm older than he is. But you know what? Sergey was giving him instructions on what to do. And after a while, he turned around and he said, I can't remember the first thing you said. You know what I was tempted to tell him? You're old. I didn't. I'm telling you about him. He's 50 years old. Is he old? He's older than his little one. But is his life closing up? No. What about when you're 75? No problem. That's right. You see, God wants to open up our perspective. And what's important is for us not to close it down. It doesn't matter how old you are, the truth is. Don't close down what God wants to open up. Wake up in the morning. Go to bed at night with a sense of expectation. God, I don't know what's ahead. Don't just pray about what you're worried about, what you're already concerned about. Pray about what you don't even know about yet that can be opened up to you. Because you see through a glass darkly. You see, as we all do, in part. Isn't that true? And God, who sees the beginning and the end, God, who is all wise and all sufficient, wants to open up some things to you. And more than anything, this year, I want you to be open to the new chapters that God wants to open to you, especially those that involve you connecting with other generations, not just your own. Not just your own. This is the key. You know, in the Amidah, in the Avot prayer, which we pray at every service, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, v'Elohei Yaakov. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And there's a message in that. He's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God to Abraham. He was God to Isaac. He was God to Jacob. And each of them experienced God and walked through life differently than one another, but they were walking together. Had Abraham not walked with God, there would be no Isaac or Jacob. Can you imagine being Isaac? You wake up every morning thinking, I'm a miracle child. I've got old parents, and they're young. That's a miracle. Through these direct relationships that God had with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, he establishes a pattern, which is he's the God of generations simultaneously. And so he wants us not to limit him to working through only our own cohort, our own age group, those who are like us, those who think like us, those who agree with us, those who have the same political affiliations as us, those who have the same tastes as us, the same economics as us, the same education as us. He's the God of all people. And so to make that real to us, we have to be open to all kinds of people. Psalm 145, verse 3. opens up this thought. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation will praise your works to another. And they shall declare your mighty deeds on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works I will meditate. I will hear from one generation the wonderful things you've done. And it will cause me to meditate, to reflect, to deeply consider how great you are, O Lord, from one generation to another. Do you know it can go from the younger ones to the older? Do you know it can go from the older ones to the younger? Do you know it can go from the middle ones to the older and younger? That's how God wants to work. Well, some of you have gotten depressed in life, or I'm not sure what, because you think you know that all the good chapters have already been written and you've already read them. But there's some chapters ahead for you. And I want to pray for anyone who thinks they had it figured out and that life was so predictable. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we can marvel in the ways that you worked in the life of Abraham and Sarah. And you repeat in our lives the things you did for Abraham, the experiences that he had, that Isaac and Jacob had. Those resonate into our lives. Echoes of their experience can be heard even in this day. And I pray, Lord, for the new chapters that you're opening up. I thank you, Lord, for new chapters. I thank you that you're bringing us into opportunities we could not have imagined, and yet we have already been prepared for. Thank you for your good work. Thank you for the hope that comes to us. Thank you for the courage that comes to us. Thank you for the expectation that comes to us as you lead us in, Lord, to the chapters we never imagined. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Would you please rise? We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. I don't want you to stand alone. If you are standing alone, you can move. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'naveilecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'naveilecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.